His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, April the 6th. We spend some time talking about a journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. Actually, the journey begins even before that. Jordan Cooper joins us here a little bit later in the program, hour two. Greg Kokel will be our guest. First 10 minutes of that second hour, we'll get his thoughts on embryo destruction in vitro fertilization and embryonic stem cell research and the moral morass of creating embryos in order to find cures one way or another. Pastor Tom Eckstein will be our guest a little later to begin part one of a two-part series on homosexuality, today refuting arguments in favor of homosexuality. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism, Jordan Cooper, author of the blog Just and Sinner. Jordan, welcome.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Your journey is kind of a journey to Lutheranism through Calvinism. It began in, I guess, pop American evangelicalism. Tell us about that.
Well, I grew up in a Christian family. We went to just typical evangelical churches, and when I was in high school, I went to a Christian high school. I guess I was really looking for something with more substance. And I had a Bible teacher who was a Calvinist, and so he started showing us in Scripture where what the fallen state of man actually is, and that apart from grace, man cannot choose God. And I guess I started looking at Scripture and seeing that this is what it taught. And so then I got into Calvinism, because I didn't know there was really any other option besides, well, you're either an Arminian or you're a Calvinist. And from that point, I went to a Reformed Presbyterian college, Geneva College, and I went there a Reformed Presbyterian, and I left a Lutheran, which is kind of strange. But basically, I was really into a lot of modern-day Calvinistic preachers. John Piper was one, and he gave a sermon one day talking about that I listened to, and he's talking about Jonathan Edwards and how he had chosen to kind of have him as his spiritual mentor. And when I heard that, I thought, I think I'm going to do this with Martin Luther, because I had really liked Martin Luther, and everyone had said, you know, Martin Luther was a Calvinist. That's kind of what you hear within Reformed theology. Martin Luther and John Calvin pretty much agreed except for the Lord's Supper. So, you know, from there, I started reading Martin Luther, and I came to a point where I was trying to figure out the issue of the Lord's Supper. And I thought, you know, if this was so important to him, and I really like him as a pastor and as a theologian, there must be something more to this. So I really looked into the issue, and I kind of realized, you know, I think Luther is right here. And so I ended up buying a Book of Concord, and then I bought Charles Hodge's Systematic Theology, which is a Reformed book of theology, and then I got Pieper's Christian Dogmatics, and I kind of read through both at the same time and comparing the arguments, and eventually that led me to believe that Lutheranism was the more biblical of the two options.
Backing up a little bit, when you spent your youth in pop American evangelicalism, what was missing there that you thought you at first could find in the Calvinistic tradition?
Well, it seemed to be very much man-centered. The focus wasn't necessarily on God and His grace in Christ. It was more on me, more on my own emotions, how I was feeling at the time. So my spiritual life really depended upon, you know, did I have my hands raised during the church service today, or how did I feel today about God?
Why didn't you go straight from evangelicalism to Lutheranism? What was why was the stopping point Calvinism for you?
Well, I didn't know that Lutheranism really existed. Whenever I heard about Lutherans, I just heard, well, they didn't really follow what Martin Luther taught. They just followed Melanchthon. And that's what I heard from both Calvinists and the evangelicals I was around. And so I didn't really know there was such a thing as, you know, confessional Lutheranism. And I first heard about it from a friend of mine. He was telling me about one of his friends who was a Calvinist who started going to a Missouri Synod Lutheran church. And so I started asking about it and reading more about it.
You said you were looking for something with more substance. Be more particular. What in particular, what substance were you looking for?
Well, I really wanted to get into just studying the text of Scripture itself. In the evangelicalism I was in, it was very much you kind of read one verse at a time and then meditate on it. But there's not this sense that you really dig deep into God's Word and really are pulling out what He is teaching through it.
Okay, so you want to be a Calvinist in earnest. What did you eventually discover, starting with the points of agreement? Were kind of the basic points of agreement between Calvinism and Lutheranism?
Well, I think the most important thing is that they're both God-centered in terms of their ideas of salvation. So, I mean, the Calvinist says that man is so evil that he cannot choose God on his own. He needs God to do a miraculous work in his heart. And as a Lutheran, I agree with that. Now I see that as, you know, working through the means of grace, which I didn't really understand as a Calvinist. I guess they're similar in that they're both very biblical, very devoted to the biblical text, very devoted to theology.
Okay, then what did you eventually find in Calvinism that wasn't fitting the scriptures that you were studying?
Well, the first thing I noticed was the Lord's Supper, because in Reformed theology that I've encountered, most people don't really talk that much about the Lord's Supper. I mean, you talk about it, like, it's important, but you don't really talk about what goes into it or what it does. And I read John Calvin himself and his institutes on the subject, and I read some other people on the subject, and there's a quote from Calvin where he's talking about Christ's words of institution, saying, "This is my body." And Calvin says, you know, Christ is not subject to the common the common rules of grammar, was something like that, was the quote. And those are the kind of things I found was, you know, you're not really strictly dealing with what the text says. You're trying to explain a way around it.
So what did you believe, or what did you find Calvinists believing about the Lord's Supper? What did they say about it?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different views from different people I've talked to, different books I've read, even different professors of theology within Calvinism that I've talked to. I mean, Calvin himself would say that there is some kind of presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, but the presence of Christ was only according to one nature, which would be his divine nature. Some of the language that some Calvinists would use to say that our, through partaking of the supper, our souls ascend into the heavenlies and commune with Christ through the Spirit. And then others kind of follow more of a Zwinglian idea that it's just a symbol.
What about baptism? What did you find being taught in Calvinism, and contrast that with what you eventually found in the Lutheran Confession?
Well, baptism, I mean, in Reformed theology, there's Presbyterians and then Reformed Baptists. So, of course, they have two different ideas, but I was from the Presbyterian perspective. And baptism was said to be, you know, it's for infants, it's for adults, as well, if there's adult converts. But they would say that it didn't actually give anything. It would give it wouldn't give grace to the person who receives it. So it was more of a symbol of entrance into the covenant. Or sometimes Calvinists would talk about in terms of it being a means of grace, but they don't mean the same thing that we mean by means of grace. They would say an infant kind of he or she enters into the church through baptism. But that doesn't mean that the Spirit is actually in that child or has regenerated that child. So it's more of something external.
So it's a symbol, a very important symbol, but
yes,
merely a symbol nonetheless.
Yes.
Where else did you find deficiencies in the Calvinist way of interpreting these scriptures?
The issue of limited atonement. This was more... And I'll explain what that is for those of the listeners that don't know. The Calvinist doctrine says that the death of Christ was paid only for the sins of the elect. So he did not die for all people, regardless, only for his elect. I mean, I believed it for a long time, but this wasn't even so much studying Lutheranism why I kind of started to question this. It was more thinking through the arguments that they would use, because I really saw that there wasn't any solid biblical evidence for it. I didn't see anything directly in Scripture that would say it. And the arguments for limited atonement usually tend to be from rationality or from an argument from reason. Well, if this is true, then this must be true. But I never really saw much in the text of Scripture itself that would support it.
Did, in the time that you believed it, with only about a minute here before we go to a break, did it ever cause consternation, wondering whether or not you were among those few or some for whom Jesus died?
Yeah, I did, definitely. It was a real struggle for me because I had to wonder, you know, did Christ indeed die for me? Was his life indeed lived and given for me? And ultimately, I had to look to, you know, am I really saved? And how do I know I'm saved? I look at my faith. But then to know my faith was real, I'd have to ultimately look at the fruits or my good works. So I would wonder, you know, what are my motivations? Are they pure enough? Or am I good enough in this area? Do I love God enough? And it really did lead me into some kind of a despair.
We're talking with Jordan Cooper. He's author of the blog Just and Sinner about his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit. We've almost stepped on it without intending to do so. We'll talk about the groundwork of double predestination in Calvinism and how it ultimately proves biblically insufficient, although it is intellectually satisfying, I will admit, biblically insufficient. 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's Tuesday afternoon, April the 6th. You can email us questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota, Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 6th. Jordan Cooper is our guest. We're talking about his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. He's author of the blog Just and Sinner. You'll find a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Well, Jordan, I mean, you can't talk limited atonement without falling into the vortex of double predestination. When you were a Calvinist, given the fact that you had some problems with limited atonement, both theologically and personally, what did you make of double predestination, kind of in its strictest form, that God arbitrarily, before the foundation of the world, chose some as the elect and others as the reprobate?
Well, within Reformed or Calvinistic theology, there are a couple different views of what double predestination means. There are those who would kind of say that God predestines some people to life and then some people to death, and that's without reference to sin or anything. But there's another group that says God predestines people unto salvation unconditionally, but when he predestines people to damnation, he's not actively predestining them unto death, but he's leaving them in the state of sinfulness that they're already in. So there is a difference there. I guess I went back and forth on both of those ideas. But ultimately, a lot of the discussion of double predestination dealt with the eternal decrees of God. And the biggest problem I had, I think, was that you're trying to figure out too much. Because in these discussions, you're going back and saying, like, well, what is the order of God's eternal decree? And there's discussions on his eternal decree in terms of what comes first, his decreeing the fall or his decreeing predestination, reprobation, which of those is first in his eternal decree. And I just thought about that a lot, and I just got to the point where I just said, you know, this isn't something we should be even talking about. This isn't where we should be going. It's digging too deep into the eternal counsel of God when we should look to what God has revealed, which is in Christ.
Tell me something, because I've wondered about this. Have many listeners who are Calvinists, friends and guests who are Calvinists, and obviously with disagreements, but I wonder whether or not, in that sense, with double predestination, Calvinist theology kind of forces you to paint yourself into a corner. You're left with really nothing to contemplate, ultimately, but the arbitrary and eternal decree of God, because the whole theology, I think unwittingly, points you away from the cross as assurance. Have I rightly diagnosed it?
Yeah, I've explained that by saying that in Calvinism, the cross is a means to bring about election, whereas in Lutheranism, election is a means to bring people to the cross. So it's what is the center? And in Calvinism, the center does seem to be God's eternal decree, whereas in Lutheranism, the focus is on Christ and him crucified and his resurrection. And the eternal will of God is just what brings us to that.
Which would you, in retrospect, judge to be more Christocentric of the two confessions of the Reformation, Calvinism or Lutheranism?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to say that Calvinists aren't Christocentric, because many of them are. Men like Michael Horton and the guys in the White Horse Inn are very clear on Christocentrism. But I think that one of the results of it is ultimately that it's not Christocentric, because the focus oftentimes comes off of Christ to God in his glory.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the focus, I guess there would be a difference between a theology of the cross and a theology of glory in some sense, in that we would look to the suffering Christ to look at God, and he is the image of God for us. And while, I mean, Calvinists obviously believe that as well, but when they're looking to God, they're more talking about his eternal decree, his sovereignty, his self-glorification, and all that he does.
Okay, give us some basic pointers as those of the Lutheran confession in dialoguing and having conversations, theological, with Calvinists.
Well, there are two things that I think are really important to understand, and these are things that bugged me when I was a Calvinist looking into Lutheranism. One is that Lutherans often have tended to call anyone Reformed who's not Lutheran, and that includes the idea that, you know, of Arminianism, where we choose God, God does not choose us, and that is not Reformed theology, that's Arminianism. So be careful in how you formulate things. Don't lump Calvinists in with other evangelicals who don't believe the same thing. The other thing I would say is that realize that there is a difference between being a Calvinist and being Reformed. Because that's another thing that really gets to people sometimes. And being a Calvinist would say you believe in what are commonly known as the 5 points of Calvinism, which is, you know, what we've been talking about mostly. But then being Reformed is a more specific category of that, which says that you hold to a confession of faith, which would be either the Westminster Confession, the Three Forms of Unity, or the 1689 London Baptist Confession. So the main point I would make is not to misrepresent the other side and be very careful in understanding what they're saying, where they're coming from. And, I mean, ultimately, just take them into the text of Scripture.
Are there, on the issue of confessions, I mean, it's one of the things that I think is a great bridge between Lutheranism and Calvinism. We both have confessions, although they differ in what they confess. But both, at least in that Reformed, narrower sense that you're talking about, see the value of a confession by which you can essentially kind of set a rule of faith, a standard of theology to identify yourself. Is that a good bridge between the Lutheran and the Calvinist?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things. And that was what attracted me to both of them, was that both of the churches are very clear on what they believe. So if you go to a Presbyterian church and they hold to the Westminster Confession, you know what they're going to teach. And the same thing if you go to a Lutheran church that holds the Book of Concord, you know what they're going to teach. And I think that is one of the main areas that we can unite on, in that we are both promoting a real solid, theologically astute form of Christianity where we actually are very bold about confessing specific doctrines and not just saying we believe the Bible and we can't have confessions, which a lot of modern evangelicals tend to do.
So if you want to know what a Lutheran believes, you say, look at the Book of Concord, as you did. Is there a similar confessional document, one confessional document, that you could say this is what Calvinists believe and subscribe to?
Well, there are different groups. It's not as simple as in Lutheranism, because we do have one confession for all the branches of the church. In Reformed theology, there is the Westminster Confession, and that's probably the best place to go to understand Reformed theology. It's very detailed, but it's very concise. And then the Dutch church has a separate set of confessions, and like the Heidelberg Catechism is where I would go to look at that. And the theology is essentially the same. I mean, there are minor differences. And then there's the Reformed Baptists, who hold to the 1689 London Baptist Confession. And that is very similar to the Westminster, but there are some changes.
Finally, bottom line, why did you find more comfort, more assurance in Lutheranism than in Calvinism? 1 minute.
I think that in Lutheranism, the focus was right, because the focus was on the gospel. The focus was not on God in some abstract sense, or God in his eternal decree, God in his glorifying himself. The focus is on the gospel itself, and the gospel call that all men need to repent and trust in Christ alone for their salvation.
Jordan Cooper is author of the blog Just and Sinner. You'll find it at the Listen on Demand page of issuesetc.org. Jordan, thank you very much for being our guest.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks to Pastor Donald Pritchard in Zion Lutheran Church in Pleasant Plains, Illinois, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. This is a group of congregations that is doing Issues Etc. A tremendous favor and service by supporting this radio outreach in their annual budget. That means $1,000 or more in their annual budget every year. That's what makes a congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300 and support Issues Etc. on this ongoing basis. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and you'll find near the bottom of the page a one-page flyer that you can download and print off. It's all self-contained. Take it to your congregation. It explains everything you need to know, your congregation needs to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you for considering your congregation as part of the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., Greg Kokel will be our guest. We'll talk about a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story rather complicated story, but it has to do with the morality of embryonic stem cell research, the morality of in vitro fertilization. These two things are related. And finding cures through stem cells. Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason will be our guest. Then we'll begin a two-part series with Pastor Tom Eckstein of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota, talking about refuting arguments in favor of homosexuality today in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us for the second hour. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. The comfort that one finds in the true confession of what Scripture teaches about Christ's universal atonement, about God's unconditional grace in Christ Jesus, is simply Jesus himself, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection for you. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, IssuesETC.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.